We're holding Maseches Demai, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Base, 1-2. The Perek continues on discussing the leniencies that apply to Demai with respect to normal untithed produce. And this Mishnah will focus either primarily or exclusively on the leniencies with respect to the Miser Sheni that has to be redeemed off of that Demai before the Demai can be eaten. So as we said in the previous Mishnah, the introduction, we're worried about two separate things in Demai. The bottom line is first, we have to take essentially 1% of the food out of the Demai as Trumas Meiser. And secondly, we have to redeem any potential Meiser Sheni onto a coin before eating that Demai. Now, Meiser Sheni is subject to a number of restrictions, Midoraisa, but they are in many instances relaxed. If the Meiser Sheni we're talking about is Meiser Sheni removed from Demai, because remember, Demai is only Midorabanan, Midoraisa, since most of the food supply in the time of the Mishnah was properly tithed, including the Meiser Sheni. There's only a second attempt at removing Meiser Sheni out of Suffolk, out of doubt, which might be rabbinically required, but nevertheless, the rabbis were lenient in their requirements. So therefore, the Mishnah says, HaDamai, when it comes to Damai, ein lo chomesh. There is no requirement for chomesh. So let's learn this just as talking about Meiser Sheni, although that's contentious, but if we learn it's just Meiser Sheni, what we're talking about here is this. When one redeems the Kedusha off of Meiser Sheni food, he's mechalel, he deconsecrates the food, transferring whatever Kedusha that would have been on the Meiser Sheni onto coins of the value of whatever we're talking about. So that would mean, if for argument's sake, there is 4 shekels worth of Meiser Sheni here, so then he would need to take 4 shekels of coins and transfer the 4 shekels of value of the Meiser Sheni onto those 4 shekel coins, and then he could take those 4 shekel coins up to Jerusalem to purchase foodstuffs over there. Now the rule is that if a person is deconsecrating, redeeming his own Meiser Sheni, he needs to add a fifth coin for every 4 that he redeems worth of value. That is to say, if he's redeeming 4 shekels worth of Meiser Sheni value, he actually has to put that onto 5 shekels. There's an extra surcharge. That surcharge is called a chomesh, an extra fifth, because he adds a fifth coin for every 4 coins. In English, we translate that as a 25% surcharge, a quarter surcharge, because he's adding 25% of the value of 4 to be 5. But Chazal looked at it as the total amount. He'll bring a total of 5 coins up to Jerusalem, 4 of which were the keren, the principal amount, the value of the Meiser Sheni, and the fifth coin is the surcharge. So Chazal referred to that as a chomesh. Now, the chomesh is required as a separate obligation, but it's not ma'akev. That is to say, if a person who had 4 shekels worth of Meiser Sheni redeems it onto just 4 shekels instead of the 5 shekels, that redemption does still work. It is effective, b'di'evid. So we have to differentiate between the chomesh, the extra fifth coin that's added for every 4, and the keren, the original first 4 coins. Just a point of clarification, the obligation to add that fifth coin as a surcharge only applies if one is redeeming his own produce. If one is redeeming someone else's produce, then there's no requirement, there's no need of adding a fifth coin. In any case, so here the Mishnah will say that since the requirement to add a fifth coin is only a separate extrinsic obligation, separate from the basic obligation to redeem the keren, the principal value of the Meiser Sheni, and since midoraisa it would work b'di'evid if he did only do the principal amount without adding the surcharge of the fifth. So the rabbis are lenient when it comes to demai, and they said if a person has demai and he has to remove the Meiser Sheni, since it's very possible there's no obligation to remove Meiser Sheni at all because most demai was tithed properly, the rabbis were lenient and said he must deconsecrate the Meiser Sheni that might be embedded in the Demai, but he need not add that Chomesh surcharge, even if it's his own produce that he is deconsecrating. A second leniency with the Demai Meiser Sheni is Ve'en lo Bior. There's no obligation of Bior. The obligation called Bior Meisrus, the destruction of the tithes, is that, as I said in the introduction, the agricultural cycle in Jewish law is 7 years long, the 7th year being the Shemitah year, where there are no tithes required. The other 6 years are actually divided into 2 mini-cycles of 3 years each. And we said that in the first 3 years, years 1 and 2, are Meiser Sheni years, and that food is, as we said, taken up to Jerusalem and eaten there. That's our topic of our Mishnah. And that third year is Maaser Ani. Instead of taking food to Jerusalem, it's given to poor people. That was the topic of the last parak of Peah. And again, in years 4, 5, and 6, the first 2 years, years 4 and 5 are Maaser Sheni years, and the sixth year is again a Maaser Ani year. When each of those mini-cycles comes to an end, there's an obligation, a deadline, to have given away all of one's tithes. That is to say, the Truma Gedola and the Trumas Mais that goes to the Kohanim, and the Mais that goes to Levi, and the Mais that goes to the poor person, and the Maaser Sheni that should be eaten in Jerusalem, or the coins which have the Kedusha of the Maaser Sheni, they all have to be used up by the deadline. And if they're not used up by that deadline, they have to be destroyed, or at least removed out of one's possession. So that deadline happens at the beginning of Pesach of the fourth and seventh year of that seven-year cycle. So there's a deadline, let's say, on year four, come Erev Pesach, or according to some versions of the Mishnah and how the Rambam paskens, the seventh day of Pesach. That's the hard deadline. And any remaining Truma, Maaser, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, or coins that had Maaser Sheni Kedusha must be destroyed, if not used, given, consumed as appropriate by then. Which would mean, under normal circumstances, if one has Maaser Sheni coins that were used to redeem bona fide Maaser Sheni, if at the deadline of Erev Pesach of years 4 and 7 they hadn't been deconsecrated back onto food and consumed in Jerusalem, those coins would have to be, say, thrown into the Dead Sea and gotten rid of. The Mishnah here says that we are lenient with coins that redeemed Maaser Sheni from Damai, and they have no hard deadline, they have no bira, those coins need not be destroyed. That's the Mishnah saying, the ain lo bira, the coins to redeem Maaser Sheni do not need to be destroyed at the bira Maaser's deadline. Next, the Mishnah says, v'ne'echal la'onen, it may be eaten by an onen. An onen is a person who lost one of his seven close relatives, that is his father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, or wife. I'm talking about unmarried sister, by the way. So on the day that that relative dies, a person is called an onen. It's like almost like a precursor of the Avelis period, and it lasts midoraisa, the day of the death, and midorabanan extending into the night after that first day. In any case, there's a prohibition of a onen, a person in such a state, from eating Maaser Sheni. However, while that's true with bona fide Maaser Sheni taken from Damai has no such restriction. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, v'ne'echa la'onen, that the Maaser Sheni taken from Damai can be eaten by a person who is an onen. Next, the Mishnah says, v'nichnas l'Yerushalayim v'yotzei, which means it can go into Jerusalem and come out again. I learned this according to the Bartanura. What we're referring to here is Damai that goes into Jerusalem that has embedded Maaser Sheni. It can go out of Jerusalem again. What's that mean? When it comes to bona fide Maaser Sheni, the Torah doesn't allow for a person to deconsecrate that Maaser Sheni food onto coins in Jerusalem. And the rabbis extended that to say that once Maaser Sheni food entered Jerusalem, it may not leave Jerusalem again. The question then becomes, may Tevel, just food that hasn't been, had any ties removed from it, that's brought into Jerusalem, come out again, because there's Maaser Sheni embedded in there? And the answer is rabbinically, no, it may not. However, if the food we're talking about is not regular food that has been untied, Tevel, but Damai, questionably tied the foods, here the Mishnah says, according to the Bartanura, the Pshat is, one may, yes, take that food out of Jerusalem, even though the Maaser Sheni has not been removed from it, and he could still redeem that Maaser Sheni out of the Damai, even though it had been in Jerusalem and left its walls. Because again, the normal rule is when it comes to bona fide Tevel or Maaser Sheni, the walls of Jerusalem are kolet, they hold, so to speak, they hold that requirement to eat the Maaser Sheni as is, and the Maaser Sheni can no longer be redeemed. So the Mishnah here is saying we're lenient, and we're saying, according to Bartanura, that Damai that enters into Jerusalem can be taken out again, and it's still legitimate to redeem the Maaser Sheni out of that Damai, notwithstanding the fact it was in Jerusalem. The Mishnah continues on, Uma'ablin esmi uto bedrachim, which means one may destroy a bit of it along the way. Here we're talking about traveling up to Jerusalem. Now, there are two pshat in the Bartanura. The first is that if a person is going to Jerusalem and along the way he sees some Maaser Sheni, some bona fide Maaser Sheni, he's not allowed to leave it on the side of the road. He must bring it up to Jerusalem with him. Can't leave it to get eaten by the wild animals, etc. However, we're lenient when it comes to the Maaser Sheni that came from Damai. That is to say, if a person passed some Maaser Sheni that someone else left behind, and the Maaser Sheni was Damai Maaser Sheni, so he is allowed to leave it be and not take it up to Jerusalem with him. That's a leniency. That's the first pshat of the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura's second pshat, like the Rambam, is that we're talking about small loss that happens in transferring one's own Maaser Sheni up to Jerusalem. The idea being, if you had Damai, then you extracted Maaser Sheni out of it, and then a little bit of that, somehow that Maaser Sheni food got, you know, it evaporated, or it was this, there was a small drip or something. One need not go to any sort of, you know, superhuman efforts to prevent any loss of someone's Maaser Sheni if that Maaser Sheni is Damai Maaser Sheni. But, however, if it were real bona fide Maaser Sheni, Midoraisa, then one would have to do whatever's in his power to prevent even the smallest bit of it from getting lost along the way. The Mishnah continues, V'nosno la'am ha'aretz. One may give his Maaser Sheni that came from Damai to an Am Ha'aretz. Now, normally the rule is, when it comes to Maaser Sheni, you may not give it to an Am Ha'aretz. An Am Ha'aretz is someone who hasn't formally accepted upon himself the rules of keeping Tahor. And therefore, even though we don't think an Am Ha'aretz is a liar or deceitful, but we do think he's ignorant. And even though he's well-meaning and intends to be Tahor when he says he's Tahor, he may well be mistaken and still be tummy. That being the case, since there's a requirement to eat Maaser Sheni B'Tahara, and the Am Ha'aretz can't be assumed to be Tahor, it's forbidden to give Maaser Sheni to an Am Ha'aretz to eat. However, if we're talking, as our Mishnah is, about the Maaser Sheni that comes from Damai, the rabbis were lenient and said one could give that Maaser Sheni food to an Am Ha'aretz, since probably it's not really Maaser Sheni, and therefore probably it's not a problem for this Am Ha'aretz to eat it, even if he is Tamei, which, of course, he may not be anyways. The Mishnah continues on by saying, V'yochal kenegdo, which literally means, and he will eat a parallel amount to it. This is quite hard to understand. The meaning of the Mishnah is that if a person gives, you know, whatever it is, an apple that's Maaser Sheni to an Am Ha'aretz, and that is permissible in the event that the apple was taken from Damai, meaning a Damai set of apples, and one apple was taken off as a Maaser Sheni, one may give it to the Am Ha'aretz. But if he does, when he goes to Jerusalem, he has to eat an extra apple from Chulin, just a generic apple from the marketplace or from his reservoir of apples, as if it were Maaser Sheni, meaning he has to eat that apple, but Tahara, in the walls of Jerusalem, like, so to speak, you know, an extra apple, as if it were Maaser Sheni, to, as it were, compensate for the apple that was given away to the Am Ha'aretz. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. The question is, why would that be necessary? What could it help? Whether the Am Ha'aretz was or wasn't tummy, this is no way to sort of fix that. It doesn't have any impact on that. They're just adding an extra apple and pretending it's Maaser Sheni. So one explanation given, the Chazon Ish, is that we want to give some kind of economic disincentive for abusing this leniency of the rabbis. That is to say, the rabbis did allow you to give your Maaser Sheni from Damai to an Am Ha'aretz, but they didn't want you to do it without any skin in the game, so to speak, just, you know, willy-nilly, without any hesitation or any, you know, any downside. And therefore, they said at least as some kind of disincentive, so they shouldn't do it too much, that if you do give Maaser Sheni that came from Damai to an Am Ha'aretz, you have to have some kind of economic disincentive and sort of supplement your eating in Jerusalem with an extra parallel amount. The Mishnah continues on, U'machal naso kesef al kesef, nechoshes al nechoshes, kesef al nechoshes, nechoshes al peros. One may, says the Mishnah, transfer the Kedusha from one silver coin to another silver coin. That would mean that if a person had his, you know, barrels of wine, and there was Maaser Sheni, he bought the barrels of wine as Damai, he wants to remove the Maaser Sheni, and he wants to then take that Maaser Sheni wine, not in the form of wine, but as coins, he can transfer the Kedusha from the Maaser Sheni and the Damai wine onto a coin. And now we're saying that he could also, if he needed that coin or wanted to remove it off that coin, he could transfer it to a different coin, another silver coin. Now, the rule is when it comes to bona fide Meister Sheni, that's not allowed. A person may not transfer from one silver coin to another silver coin unless the second silver coin has greater currency than the first silver coin. Let's say it's more accepted in that region, or it's a new king, etc. Then it would be allowed. Otherwise, one may not just keep on transferring willy-nilly. But one may transfer from one silver coin to another silver coin of equal, equal currency as a leniency for Meister Sheni that came from Demai. Same goes on Nechoshes al Nechoshes. You can transfer from one copper coin to another copper coin, which would be prohibited when it comes to standard bona fide Meister Sheni. Kesev al Nechoshes. Normally, silver is considered to be more current, more easy to transfer and purchase things than copper coins, and therefore actually might allow for cheaper purchase of foodstuff if purchased in silver as opposed to copper, and therefore it's prohibited to transfer from silver to copper when it comes to the Kedusha that was taken off of bona fide Meister Sheni. But here it's just rabbinic Meister Sheni because of Demai, and therefore we're lenient. And even one can transfer from Nechoshes al Haperos, from a copper coin, onto other foodstuffs. That is to say, he could, let's say he had a copper coin that had the Kedusha of Meister Sheni that came from Demai. So he could take that Kedusha and transfer from the copper coin onto another foodstuff, whatever it is, a barrel of wheat, and then later on, perhaps take the barrel of wheat to eat in Jerusalem or not, as we'll see more in the Mishnah. But the point is that now we've got the cycle has been from Demai food onto a coin, and from the coin back onto a different food. We're saying that's still legitimate. Certainly not legitimate when it comes to bona fide Meister Sheni, but yes, allowed for Meister Sheni that came from Demai. Now, the next words of the Mishnah, as we have the Girsa, is Ubilvad Sheyachazor V'yifte Es Haperos, Divrei Meir. Provided that one doesn't bring that, say, barrel of wheat up to Jerusalem to eat it there, but rather he exchanges the Kedusha, transferring it off the barrel of wheat back onto new coins. That's because the Pasuk requires that one go to Jerusalem with in the coins in hand, and specifically coins, not foodstuff. So Rav Meir, according to this Girsa, requires that it go back onto coins before going to Jerusalem. The Girsa, the version of the Mishnah according to the Bar Tanura and others, and for good reason for various kashas, understands that word ubilvad should be taken out, and the shin should be changed to a vav. So the Mishnah should read, according to the Bar Tanura's Girsa, unechoshes al haperos, you can transfer from a silver coin that had the Kedusha of Meister Sheni from Demai onto some kind of food, like the barrel of wheat. And v'yachaz or v'yifte es haperos, the Rameir holds, if you want to, you are allowed to, yet again, transfer from the barrel of wheat onto another coin, a second coin. You don't have to. You could if you want to. So there's two versions of Rameir. Either way, the Chacham disagree, and the Chacham say, yala haperos v'yichilu b'yushalayim. The Chacham hold that you must take that barrel of wheat, in my example, to Jerusalem and eat it there. In other words, that's the end. You could take it onto a coin once, but not to a second time. And therefore, the wheat as is must be taken to Jerusalem. So if you're following, it will come out then that according to the version of the Mishnah, as we have it in front of us, Rabbi Meir is machmir, and he requires that the barrel of wheat be re-deconsecrated back onto a coin, and specifically coins must come to Jerusalem. The rabbis are lenient, saying, no, you don't have to do that. The other version of Rameir is the makel. He's being lenient. He says, if you want to, you can leave it as is. If you want, you can convert it to coins. And the Chum say, no, it's not your choice. You must bring those fruit up as are, and that barrel of wheat, and eat it in Jerusalem. You can't do a second deconsecration to a new coin. Halach, of course, like the Chachamim.